Chapter 2, The Law. Now that we have defined man's nature of sin and his spiritual state of darkness and corruption, we can begin to understand the law and God's purpose in it. The law consisted of 10 commandments and 613 regulations as given to Moses by God. We immediately have to face the fact that God gave man a law that he could not keep. We're all familiar with the scriptures that tell us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're told that none are righteous and that all have sinned. The penalty of the law is death for all who have sinned, and so all are worthy of death, Romans 3:10. The apostle goes as far to tell us that the righteousness never came by observing the law, Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So the question springs to mind, why did God give us a law we couldn't keep? It is a fact that man could not keep it, for no man ever had. Again, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. From Adam to Moses. To answer the above question and others, we must go to the scripture and study how man died from the time of Adam to the time the law was given through Moses. He died because of sin. Remember earlier we defined sin as a fallen nature, a nature of corruption. It starts on the inside and works its way to the outside to bring forth death. Only Adam could remember that sinless state. His children never knew it as they were born after Adam's sin. Only Adam could really understand that death is not natural. Rather, it is a consequence of sin. His children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren didn't understand that death was not natural. All the way down through Noah's time and through Abraham, even to the time of Moses, all perceived death as natural. It was merely a part of the concept of beginning and end, which they saw all around them. Death, however, is not natural. It is the result of sin in men. In those days, men lived according to their own consciences. The problem with this is that it was a corrupt conscience because sin corrupted man and his thinking. What was wrong or right to one man may not be that what was wrong or right to the other. Communion with God was cut off, so there were no absolutes to adhere to. The Bible tells us that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Another problem was sin was not recognized as sin. Being cut off from the spiritual communion with our Creator left us ignorant of the invisible things like the nature of sin that dwelt in us. There was nothing to identify this nature. This is why the Bible tells us that where there is no law, there is no sin. In other words, sin was not taken into account where there was no law. So the Apostle Paul tells us, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. The point is, sin was in us, and it was killing us, and we thought it was natural. Our consciences were misinformed. It took the law to show us that sin causes death. When the law identified sin, then finally sin appeared to be to us in a way we could see it. By the law, sin was not recognized, though as a nature, but rather as a transgression of the law. A transgression is the action of sinning itself, but true sin at its root was the nature that produced the action. The penalty of death was added because of the transgression. Every law has a penalty if you break it. Death was added as the penalty to show us that sin is going to end in death. This in turn shows us our need for God to help us. He must justify us, for we're all dead under the law. We could not justify ourselves. All men could hope to do was hide sin. Adam and Eve tried to hide it with aprons of fig leaves. This shows the need to mix the law with faith. Men should have, through faith, saw God's plan of redemption through the sacrifices the law demanded. Our faith is in the belief that God has a deliverance from sin for us. Through faith, we run to God. With hope, he can fix it. Man instead tried to hide from God. As we said before, sin by the law is identified as a transgression of the law. A transgression of the law is the action sin produces in you. This is how it works. The law says theft is wrong. You then in turn try not to steal based on what the law says is right. Then you find you cannot stop coveting other people's things. You're tempted and eventually you give in and steal. You then find that this law, which you agree with as good, shows you how bad you really are. Before you knew it was wrong to covet, it never bothered you. But now that the law has said do not covet, you're identified by this law as a sinner. The action of stealing suddenly appears to you to be very sinful, where before the law it was of no bother to you or your conscience. The law informs our conscience as to what is good, and so what is evil. It is absolute and in stone and outside of us. Romans 7:7. The nature of corruption inside you is identified through the actions of a transgression of this law outside of us. You can't actually see that nature, but now you know it exists in you through what you do, which the law identifies as sin. The penalty of the law shows that sin is the cause of death by judging our transgressions of the law worthy of death. It was our nature to sin. Only someone with a perfect man's nature could ever fulfill the law. By trying and failing to keep this law written on stone that was on the outside of us, we proved that inside we were hopelessly corrupt. If it is your nature to do right, you don't need a law on the outside to remind you of sin and tell you what is. You do not have to tell an apple tree to bear apples. It does so by nature. The law shows us it is our nature to sin. It also showed us that we could never please God of ourselves. The law does show us our need for faith in God. It shows us our need for God to change our nature that we may please Him. It shows us we need forgiveness for past sins. The law shows us our need to be redeemed from sin. This is why God gave us a law we could not keep. It is all about a promise of a change of nature from Adam to Christ. The inside versus the outside. Through this struggle that the law produces in a man, we find further revelation. Inside, we agree with the law in our inner man, our spirit, but the flesh still wants its desires fulfilled. It is consumed with lust. Before the law came and informed us of God and His will, we were free from righteousness. There was no conflict in us. But when the law came, however, it brought conflict between the sin nature and our spirit. Our spirit was a slave to sin. It did what its master, the sin nature, wanted. The spirit was ill-treated. The law pointed out this inequity and promised life if we did what was right. But the law demanded perfection. When your spirit is enslaved to a fallen nature, it is impossible to be perfect. Romans 7:9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto me death. So the spirit began to struggle toward this promise of life by trying to keep this law. It agreed with his good and found instead its change to the sinful nature's will. The Apostle Paul describes it in this manner. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow not, for that what I would, that I do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent that the law that it is good. Then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It is a scriptural fact that when we, in our inner man, agree that the law is good and commence this struggle against sin revealed in us, then it is truly no longer us that sin. It is sin itself that makes us a captive and a slave. For the first time we see our slavery through the law. A slave doesn't need to be destroyed. He needs to be freed. The problem is far from solved, however. Our struggle against sin is fruitless. We cannot overcome this nature of sin in ourselves. Even though it is no longer us who sin, we are not forgiven still of past sin and free from that nature that produces sin. Through the law, we do not find life, but only condemnation. We have the will to do good, but not the means to accomplish it. Romans 7:18-24. It is at this point that many who find this reality at work in them start down the empty, deceptive road of self-justification. Adam and Eve tried to hide their sin behind fig leaves. God, however, gave them coats of animal skins, which cost innocent animals their lives. This is what began sacrifice. Only the innocent blood of another could cover your sin. Someone had to die in your place. These sacrifices were only pictures that were to show us this concept. The concept is that of redemption. God never took pleasure in animal sacrifice, even though the law required them to be made. Psalms 40, verse 6, Hebrews 10, 4-8. Animal sacrifices could never cover sin. They were merely a picture of the redemption God would provide. These were all outside pictures about what God, who is Spirit, would provide by the Spirit. It is God who would provide the true sacrifice. Only God could justify us. Again, we see the need to mix the law with faith in God. The Jews did not see this. They did not look through the pictures in the law and see the spiritual applications in faith. They looked only at the pictures of themselves. They tried just as Adam and Eve to cover themselves with a justification that was outward and of the flesh. In other words, because they could not see sin as a nature, but only as transgressions, the actual actions that point to the nature, in the same way animal sacrifice could only point to true redemption, they tried to stop sin themselves. They tried to interpret the law according to an outward standard and just change its actions. They could not perceive it was the nature that must be changed, and that itself by God, because they did not mix the law with faith in God. They never got the understanding that a person is what he is by nature. Changing his actions does not change who and what he is, for all men are sinners. The best they could do was put an outward show of righteousness. It is the heart, the inner man, that must be changed. God does not in this darkness of the carnal mind acknowledge the things of the Spirit. Man does not in the darkness of his carnal mind acknowledge the things of the Spirit. He only walks by what he sees. This means he would attempt to keep the law from the outside and not even acknowledge there was an inside to change. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fully fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we mix the law with faith, we see our need for a Redeemer. That is our need for our nature to be changed. That demands a sacrifice that must be more than just an animal. We see our need for God. This is God's mercy. We who are of faith see the letter of the law as a shadow of the good things God has promised. The letter of the law is the pattern of God. The law itself is the prophecy of a perfect man. He is the one who will fulfill the law. We also see that he is judged of the law to be a perfect sacrifice for sin. His innocent blood that the law judged to be innocent. He is the true lamb without blemish. He is the one sacrifice for all time that will please God. He is the promised Redeemer that the law of God prophesied would come. His name is Jesus, and he alone is our redemption.